He had been put to death. He'd been beheaded. But he said, Elijah shall yet come, even after John the Baptist was all dead, and restore all things. But then he went on, he says, I say unto you that Elijah is come already. Now he's talking about John the Baptist, who came in the power and spirit of Elijah, but was not Elijah, just as the messenger to come in these last days would not be Elijah, but a man in the power and spirit of Elijah. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not. They didn't recognize him, but have done unto him what they listed or what they wished. This one coming in the power and spirit of Elijah was to prepare the way for the second coming of Christ. And we read of Christ's second coming now in Acts, the 3rd chapter, and verses 19 to 21. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he, or God, shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive. Christ went up to heaven, and he's still there now, and the heavens receive him until a certain time, until the times of restitution of all things. Now, what does restitution mean? It means a time of restoring something that had been taken away, of restoring something that had been lost. Now, what was taken away? The government of God was taken away by Lucifer, who became Satan. And what Christ is coming for is to restore the kingdom until the times of restitution of all things, restoring the government of God, salvation, restoring everything, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Brethren, all that has happened already, except the second coming of Christ. Now, let's see what happens. In the 20th chapter of Revelation, the first three verses, I won't take time to read it right now, but that shows that when Christ comes, an angel, the key to the bottomless pit, will lay hold on Satan the devil and take and put him away where he will not be able to harm people on the earth anymore. He will be taken off that throne. Jesus Christ will come and sit on that throne, and also on the throne of his father David in Jerusalem. And then will come the millennium. You read of that in Revelation 20 in verses 4 to 6. And then will come after that what we're here to celebrate today. This final judgment. Now let me explain something about judgment. Judgment had never come on the human race. If Adam had taken the tree of life, judgment would have come on him. He would have been judged having God's Spirit as to whether he was developing God's character, but he rejected it. And so judgment didn't come on him. Judgment never began on any people. Now get this. Judgment did not begin on the human race until Christ raised up the church. And so we read in Peter, in Peter's letter, that the judgment must begin at the household of the church of God. And the judgment has begun in the church. Brethren, we are being judged now in the church. We are being judged day by day. We're having to give account for what we do. The world hasn't yet come to its judgment. When it does, it'll be judged by what it did do in its lifetime. No question about that. But the actual judgment has not come to the world yet, but the judgment is on the church. Now then, in the church, if we pass in this judgment, we will get salvation. Judgment can lead to salvation as well as a condemning and a punishment. I want you to understand that. Judgment on living humans will be on all humans on earth during the millennium. Everyone will be in his judgment at that time. And Then for the rest of the dead, it was appointed for them to die, and then after that will come the judgment, and that'll be at the end of the millennium. So now we come to verse 11 of the 20th chapter of Revelation, and I saw a great white throne. Now, there's a throne here in this judgment, and a judge is sitting on that throne. Now, in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, that's a resurrection. The dead people now are made alive, and they stand before God, who's on that throne, but it'll be God in the person of Christ, who is God. And the books were opened. Now, books are opened. I want you to get this, in which what we have done is written. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. That means that some are going to be given immortal life in this judgment. It doesn't say whether it'll be just a few or whether it'll be nearly everybody. But some are going to get immortal life. And the book of life will be there. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book. And the book will show what they did do while they lived. Now that will mean Cain and Seth and all of the people before the flood that were drowned like rats in the flood. That'll mean all of the people of ancient Israel who never had God's Holy Spirit. So many of them, they will all come out at that time. Now let me read you a few other passages of Scripture about this judgment. One is in Matthew 12, verse 41. Jesus said while he was on earth, "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation," that's the generation when Jesus was on earth, "and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Christ was greater than Jonah. "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests were rejecting Jesus, who was much greater. Now coming to Luke 11, verse 31. It says, "And the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment," and it's talking about the judgment, "with the men of this generation, and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, her greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Now, another coming to Luke, the 10th chapter in verse 12, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day," meaning the judgment, "for Sodom and Gomorrah than for this city. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you." He said, because he's talking about the judgment. Now we learn so much about Israel from Ezekiel 37 and the judgment on ancient Israel. They did not have the Spirit of God in ancient Israel. In Ezekiel 37, beginning of the first verse now, "The hand of the Eternal was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Eternal." Now, that is in a vision. In the Spirit means in a vision. "And set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones." This is just like a dream he sees. "And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry, meaning quite old, had been dead a long, long, long time now. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? They're skeletons. Can they come back to life? Remember I told you in Hebrews 9:27 it says it's appointed to man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Can they live again for the judgment? And I answered, O Lord eternal, thou knowest. Continuing on, and he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the eternal. Thus says the Lord eternal unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to come into you, and you shall live. Now, what kind of life is that? The life that comes from breath is mortal life. When you have immortal life, you don't need any breath. That's spirit life. So this is talking about being resurrected back to normal, mortal life once again, just as they were before. Not immortal life at all, not spirit life yet. And God continues, I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and that means just mortal, temporary life, and you shall live, and you shall, now when that happens, you shall know that I am the eternal. They will know that he is God. And that is speaking of the one who was Christ that they didn't really know before at all. So, continuing verse 7, I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a great noise, and behold, a shaking like an earthquake, and the bones came together, bone to his bone, the different bones of a certain body, I suppose, going together and forming a human body once again. Continuing, verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews upon the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, they weren't alive because there was no breath. They're not immortal, but they're back everything but the breath now, like a corpse. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, and prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord eternal, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that are now dead, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. Now it's back to mortal life, just like they were before, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army, all the whole house of Israel. Now notice, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is ancient Israel, but it also means modern Israel today, our people. The whole house of Israel, behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. They died, they thought, without hope, and we're cut off from our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord eternal, behold, O my people, now this is Israel brought back to life now, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the eternal when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. Then they'll come to know what they never did really get to know in this life, because they were blinded by Satan, and they never did recognize God. And continuing the next verse, 14, and shall put my Spirit in you. Now at last the Holy Spirit will be open to them, and God will put His Holy Spirit into them in this resurrection. Once again, it was appointed to all men once to die. But after this, the resurrection and the judgment. As in Adam, all die, so in Christ they'll all be made alive. They'll come to know, and then God will put His Spirit in them. And many of them are going to then find salvation in this great white throne judgment. That is yet ahead of us. What a wonderful thing is yet ahead of us, my brethren all around the world. I hope you can understand that. But that is still not the end. I want to go a little bit farther now. After all of that, everyone who ever lived, Satan thinks he's got them because they all died. Yeah, the penalty of sin was death, and they did die. But through Christ, they're going to be made alive. And Satan won't be here, and then they're going to recognize God, and they're going to repent, and they're going to, many of them, receive His Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean all of them. Some will still reject, but I can't believe many will reject. I have to believe that most are going to accept what God has for them. Now, I want you to see what carries on after that. That's in the second chapter of Hebrews, beginning with verse 5. Beginning with verse 5. The first chapter talked about Christ and about the angels and how Christ sustains the whole universe with the word of His power and how the angels are ministering spirits to those that are the heirs of God, as we are. Now, Hebrews 2 and verse 5. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come. The world to come will not be in subjection to angels as this present world is, but not in the world tomorrow, whereof we speak. So they're speaking about the world to come here. But one in a certain place testified, this was David in the Psalms, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Angels are made higher than we are. God had made man a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory. Man crowned with glory, or shall be, and honor, and did set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under man's feet. All things, Moffat translation translates all things into the whole universe. God will put the whole universe. That's all the galaxies, all our Milky Way and other galaxies as far as space goes, under mankind ultimately. Oh, brethren, we can't realize the great glory that is yet to be revealed in us as the sons of God. But all things, the whole universe, in subjection under His feet, for in that He, or God, put all in subjection under Him, under man, He left nothing that is not put in subjection under Him. But now, what's the answer? But now we see not yet all things. Just the earth now. Not yet all things. Not yet the whole universe put under Him. But what do we see now? We see now Jesus crowned with glory and with honor. He is the firstborn of many brethren. And he is our pioneer. And He is already crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, because He created all things, and God created all things by Him, in bringing many sons unto glory. We are the sons of God to be brought to glory, bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they which are sanctified are all of one. And why? For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And Jesus calls us brethren, and he is the Son of God, and we will be sons of God, and the church will marry Christ. He will be the husband. The church will be the wife. God will be the Father, and we shall have spiritual children that will be converted through the millennium, and then in this great white throne judgment will be our children, spiritually speaking, not physical. Now, I want to have one more little passage of Scripture. That's in the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 18. And this is now from the Revised Standard Translation. I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, or in us, as the King James has it. For the creation, not the creature, but creation, the entire universe, waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, when they will be able to see that we are spirit beings and just like God, no longer mortal humans having to breathe air of flesh and blood and bone, but we'll be spirit beings, sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from the bondage, or one translation has thraldom, to decay, and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. That is the family of God. God is reproducing himself, as I said in the beginning today. God's great purpose. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, up to now, the whole creation has been groaning together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, because we are the church and the first fruits, groan inwardly as we wait for the, it should be, birth as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And then as in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, our vile bodies will be changed in a twinkling, in a moment, like unto his glorified body. And Christ's body, how is it? Well, his face is like the very sun in full strength, his eyes like flames of fire. And we shall be like him, we'll see him as he is when that time comes. Well, brethren, that is the way the great purpose of God finally works out. The wonderful purpose of God, it's going to be a mighty thing, it's going to work out wonderfully, and the whole creation is going to, we're going to work over the whole creation. Now, you can use some imagination, if you will. Perhaps we will start other worlds in other places out in outer space. Who knows? What a wonderful thing God has in store for us. And so now we come to the end of these holy days. This is the last service until next year. Brethren, it isn't going to be long now until we'll come into that glorious time. The time is short. We have much to learn. We have to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us love one another and let us grow together for this wonderful, glorious future that God has in store for us. God bless you all.